What's going on, guys? James Camacho here, and this is Kicking It With Camacho. Guess where I am? I am home. I'm home. H-O-M-E. Home, home, home. Home team, go, go, go. I could have been a cheerleader, goddammit. dude, you know what's funny? I'll never forget this. I remember one time, it was like the last day of like high school. And you know, the last day of high school, you take like your, final exam, right? And then, you know, you take your final exam. Once that's done, you get the hell out of there. And, you know, it's summertime. I'll never forget one time I took my final exam. I walked out feeling great, looking forward to summer, not getting invited to any parties. And there's this guy. He just left the classroom and he just screams at the top of his lungs, "I'm done! I am done!" Just like a Spartan cry. I don't know why. I just like, that's always stuck with me. I thought that was so, it was the purest form of like levity and happiness, you know? Screw school, summer's here. But anyways, yeah, I'm back home in New York City. I think I said on the last podcast I was going to try to do one more in the Bahamas, but man, I mean, the last episode took 48, it literally took 2 days to upload on with the Wi-Fi, the hotel Wi-Fi. So I just said, you know what, screw it. I said all I need to said in the Bahamas, two episodes enough. And I was just like, when I get back home, I'll record it. And here I am, guys. Oh, it's good to be back. Good to have my my kids, my fluffs. Good to see them. Good to touch them. Man, I really miss them. Where the hell are they now? They're sleeping in the bathroom, which is that's kind of their new spot now. The bathroom. Where poop and peas happen. You want to hear something cute? You know, when you get cats, you need a litter box, right? The litter box is in the bathroom. So, I treat the cats like humans, you know? So we're pooping and peeing in the same bathroom. And, yeah, is that cute or is that just TMI? I don't know. Giving you my poop information. But anyways, it's good to be back. Yeah, man. Where did I last leave you off? I think I recorded Monday or Tuesday of last. No, I recorded Monday last week and then took 2 days to upload. And I think the episode eventually came out Wednesday. But the Bahamas trip, shout out to everyone that came to the shows. You know, it was a long 2 weeks. I was in a resort with families and people on vacation. And I was just like working and I was alone and I was poor. So I couldn't really quite enjoy it. Felt a little bit out of place. And you know me, man, like I'm not good with vacations. You know, people like to go on vacation. People like to, you know, lay by the beach, do nothing, decompress. I'm the opposite. I like to work. I like to hustle. I like to, you know, go after my goals. You know, I'm a different type of a human, you know? So for me, 2 weeks, in a resort, also doing the same, like, I'm a firm believer, like, if you want to get good at comedy, you can't just be doing the same venue over and over again. Otherwise, your act, like, who's got that old saying? He's a comedian. He says, if your act works here, it don't work anywhere. Meaning, like, if it works in one place and you don't test it out everywhere, it's not good, you know? So, but, you know, I got to give it up to the people that came out. I think I made a lot of new fans because after every show, I got a lot of people following me. I got a lot of people that enjoyed the shows. I had every show was good. Usually there's one show where I stink it up, but, this whole trip, I had really good sets. Shout out to my, co-headliner, Rob Breckenridge from, Appleton, Wisconsin. Really nice guy. Full of stories, man. I mean, he was in a lot of tours with a lot of really famous people. He's been in the game forever. So, I mean, he was telling me stories about like really, really famous comedians he used to like live next to in LA and like roommates. And, he's a really cool guy. Cause like he would tell me all these stories and he'd be like, you know, I didn't make it. You know, the upstairs was like, this famous comedian, that famous comedian. This person went on the right for that big show. They opened for that guy, and nothing happened with me. Here I am in the Bahamas doing a resort. But no, I'm just kidding. He was a great guy, super hilarious. Great hang. I, you know, sometimes when you go on the road for like extended periods of time, the worst is when you get, you know, you work with someone that stinks. It turned out to be a great case. I'm actually going to be in Wisconsin next weekend, and I'm hoping Rob can stop by, do some guest spots. That would be pretty nice. Anyway, so I got to give up the appeal that came out because, you know, I was staying at the Atlantis, which is a very nice resort, you know, really rich clientele. And, you know, my biggest fear about doing these, it's basically a cruise ship what I was doing. You're in the same resort for 2 weeks, you know. Obviously, there's more turnover because in the ship, you're stuck with the people there, same people. But with the, you know, hotel, the resort, you know, you get people coming in, coming out, checking in, checking out. So there was different audience members. But, you know, a lot of these people were from New York, a lot of people from like Dallas, Texas, Florida, kind of like rich people that were smart. And my biggest fear was like, you know, you do these resorts or cruise ships and the crowds are just full of dum-dums, you know, just full of like, you know, just more simple people. So you feel like you got to do crowd work and your phallus material. I was actually able to like work on some stuff. I said with that quote earlier, if your act works here, don't work anywhere. But I wrote a lot of new stuff, a lot of personal stuff, a lot of like stuff. I don't want to even say it's smart. It's just not easy material. You know, I was talking a lot about being a very empathetic person. I was talking about jokes. Anyway, so, I mean, you guys will see in the future if you come see me live or, you know, eventually when I put it out on social media or on a special. But, yeah, I got a lot of work done. I wasn't bored the whole trip. That was my biggest fear, too. I'm there for 2 weeks. I'm going to get so bored. But I was full of work. You know, I joked about my... when I first got there, it's like I got all these auditions. Of course, when I leave my apartment with my home studio, I finally get auditions. And I think I had about 4 auditions in the 2 weeks I was gone. And it would be really, really sad, but really funny and just prove me right if this week I'm back home or the next 2 weeks I'm back home and I don't get a single audition. But it was a good time. I'm proud of myself. I didn't drink one alcoholic beverage as I was there. I stayed to my diet. I really spent most of my money not at the bar, but at the buffet. I mean, it was super expensive, but I was able to stay within my diet because, you know, go to the buffet. You know, I just skipped all the unhealthy food. I went right for the boiled eggs, the grilled chicken, the salmon. I don't know, but yeah, man, I got to admit, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but your boy is, getting ripped. Those abs are showing, baby. Legitimately, like, the V-cut, those bottom two abs, when I wake up in the morning, they're there. And then, obviously, you know, as soon as I drink water or something, it's gone. But I'm looking pretty good, man, and it's great. I don't know how – it's one of the most underrated things – but one of the best things in the world when like you're fit and like you have no anxiety about any of your pants or your shirts, because like everything I put on looks good because my body looks great. Every pair of underwear, every pair of pants I put on, I have no like fear that, you know, I'm gonna have to like I don't know, like fat's gonna be spilling out or it's just not gonna fit. I'm gonna be uncomfortable, you know, like suffocating because I'm trying to get them tight. It's a very freeing feeling. It's one of the most it's one of the better feelings that no one really talks about because, you know, America pretty obese out there, you know, a lot of fatty waddies walking around. But I don't even feel bad, you know, calling people fat or whatever, because it's like I work so hard, dude. For 2 weeks I was at a resort and I was disciplined. I did my, you know, calorie deficit. I got all my macros and you know, I worked out like an animal. I did cardio every day. So, yeah, I'm doing cardio with my workout. So that adds about another 40 minutes of my workout. So I'm in the gym for almost 2 hours every day. So I work hard, and I don't got to feel bad. So anyways, guys, thank you, Bahamas. Thank you, anyone. Thank you. Shout out to the new fans that might be on this watching the podcast now. Follow me on social media. I really feel like you have to really, really like me to watch the podcast, because the podcast is just – just me, you know? That's why I appreciate you guys, the fans that do watch. Let's go through this real quick. Let's go through the update on the goals. Right now, we're at 3,169 watch hours. The goal is 4,000. We've been a little bit plateauing a little bit. But that's probably on me because usually I put out two podcasts a week when I'm home. But, you know, obviously, you know, being out of town, could only do one. And then, you know, I wasn't able to put up as much content just because the Wi-Fi was slow. But we're back, and we're about 831 away from monetizing my channel. Bench press goal. One of the things that suck about you know, losing weight, losing body fat, is that my bench press has also gone down just because I just don't weigh as much. Bench press is really one of those things where you need some weight on you, you know, because my squat is my squat's still going up. All my other workouts are good, but the bench has been plateauing a bit. So the last time I benched, I did 165 for 7. My goal is to try to get to 185 for 7, but it sucks because, like, when I left, I was at 170 for 8. So I've gone down, and I should try to figure out how to still be able to lose weight but also get that goal going. There's got to be a way to do it. I'm probably – maybe my form isn't perfect. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, guys, tour date's coming up. If you want to see me this weekend, I'm at the Comic Strip Live in New York City, May 10th to 11th. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, May 16th. Kenosha Comedy Club, Kenosha, Wisconsin, May 17th, 18th. McKinney, Texas, May 31st, June 1st. Gilbert, Arizona, June 7th, 8th. Pine Top, Arizona, at the Home Duck Casino, June 10th. Stress Factory, June 29th. That's in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Albany, New York, June 30th. Weathersfield, Connecticut, July 5th, 6th. That's by Hartford. Then Townsend, Montana, July 18th, and then Helena, Montana, July 19th. I think there's more Montana dates surrounding those, and I will have those announced soon. A lot of tour dates, working a lot, blessed. It's so funny. One, you know, I was talking about the hate comments on my social media clips last week, and one guy was just like, because, like, he was, like, shitting on me. And then a lot of people came to my defense, and eventually he just started being passive aggressive. Like, it's so funny because I hadn't responded to one thing. So, but he adds me and he goes, "Listen, man, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Obviously, some people like it. You have your fans. Don't change. But you know, you're probably going to be doing Wednesday night bar shows for a long time." And it's just like, man, you suck. You know, like, you're trying to be hurtful, but like, it's just like not doing anything, because I just look at all my tour dates. There's not one Wednesday bar show in what I just said. These are all headlining gigs except for the Comic Strip. I'm working at New York City club where Jerry Seinfeld, Eddie Murphy, and Adam Sandler started on a weekend. So, you know, keep trying to hurt my feelings. It's not working. But keep commenting, because you know, the more you comment, the more viral the clips go. The more money I get. Yeah, so that's about it, man. That's about it for tour dates. There's more, but these are the ones I believe the tickets are up for sale now. So go see me live, man. Yeah, here we are. We are back home. I'll tell you a little bit about my trip back home. So, God Almighty, man, I'm telling you, man, I was so done with the Bahamas by the end of it. So I left Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, was the last day of shows. Fly out May 6th, Monday, and man, was I excited. I'm packing my bags, I'm whistling, I'm playing gospel music, I'm dancing, even though I can't dance, you know, and I'm like, all my clothes just, oh, there's no laundry there. I think if I wanted to do laundry, I had to, like, leave the resort, and I Lord knows I wasn't doing that. So all my clothes are stinky and wet, but, like, I throw them in a bag. I go to sleep early as hell. I think I go to sleep at like right after the show, like 11. I wake up at 5 a.m. I get my coffee. I get a protein bar. I go work out at the resort gym, get a little chest in, get disappointed because my chest is, my bench press is going down. But then I go one last breakfast buffet. I get me some boiled eggs, some lox, French toast, which I always thought French toast was like really bad for you. But if you don't put syrup on there, I didn't know this. French toast is just eggs and bread. I didn't know it was actually eggs in there. So I had a little French toast with some whipped cream. That's like my little fun. And then, yeah, I check out at 11. My flight's at 4. So, you know, I'm a professional flyer, right? But here's the thing. I'm international waters. And being, I'm a professional because, obviously, I know my airport. And, I have TSA pre-check. I have digital ID. What the hell is the other thing I have? Clear. And, I got Delta Sky Club access, all this stuff. So, you know, usually when I go to the airport, I'm like a 1%er. In the Bahamas, not so much because, I literally have nothing to do. So like I check out the resort, I'm sitting in the lobby with all my bags, at like 11:30, my flight's in like 5 hours. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? And I just decide like, hey, listen, I got nothing going on. Let's be safe. We're traveling international. Let's get there early. And God damn it. Thank God I did, because I get to the airport and, oh, I didn't tell you this. So like at the resort, there's actually some cool. So the Atlantis is like a pretty big resort. So while I was there, Janet Jackson was performing, which was crazy because I didn't even know she was still touring. So she was there, and then Tyler Perry was filming a movie there. And then there was the last week there was all these like Olympic athletes there from all over the world. So they were staying there and they were doing some like Olympic thing. I'm not really sure what it was, but so I'm checking out, and obviously it's busy in the lobby because people are checking out. But then I see like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of like these Olympic athletes, and like they have all like whatever, like track suits and like, you know, athleisure with like the flag of the country they're from, and they're all traveling in like groups, right? So I'm like, oh crap, man, like the airport's probably going to be pretty packed because everyone's going home today. But then I was like, listen, I got TSA pre-check, you know, I got club access, I got priority pass, I got Delta, a gold medallion, I'm good, right? So then I check the airport, see if there's a lounge, no Sky Club, and then there's one lounge, but it's only for domestic flights. And remember, we're in Bahamas, so non-US. So I'm like, ah, crap. So no Sky Club, no club in general. So I'll probably have to sit at the airport, which is always terrible, right? No matter how nice the food court is, it's just not a fun place to sit. And then if you like eat at a restaurant, an airport, even if you have like a 3 hour or whatever wait layover, you just feel bad because like these people that work at the airport are miserable. And if you're just sitting there in that seat after you eat for too long, you just feel like they're like, get the hell out of here. Like what the hell's wrong with you? You know? So I'm like, ah, that's not great. But you know, maybe let's go, you know, listen, I can manage. I'll go there and like just eat something and just chill out for like an hour. That's fine. Maybe I'll, you know, get work done or you know, I started playing Game Boy again, like I told you guys. So maybe I'll just play Game Boy for an hour. So I get to the airport, right? Also, too, I'm like, I got TSA pre-check and I'm seeing all these people. I'm like, I'll breeze through. No problem. Dude, I get to the airport, jam, like millions of people in the airport. Sometimes you see like JFK, LaGuardia, full, but those are such big airports where like even though there's massive amounts of people, it never feels like this was at like capacity, man. Like just imagine like a comedy club or a nightclub, like packed to the gills. It was like that. So I'm like, shit, you know, a lot of people. I hate people, but I'm like, I got TSA pre-check, so I should be fine, right, bro? I go to the I start walking towards the security. There's two lines. There's regular and TSA. And the TSA pre-check, the regular line is like 17 miles long. You know, I mean, literally like a small village of people. And then I'm seeing the TSA pre-check. It's not nothing, but it's definitely like a third, maybe a fourth. Definitely like, nah, way more, like maybe like a fifth of that line. So in my head, I'm like, thank God I got TSA pre-check. I'm a 1%er at the airport. Let's go. Dude, I get to the TSA pre-check, I go through, and then we go through like this little doorway, right? And then on the other side, it's just another jillion people. You ever like go through customs or at the airport where you're like, you see one gigantic line and you want to cry, and then as you inch up, you start seeing what's ahead of you, and it's just another crazy line. You're like, ah, when is this ever going to end? So it was like that. But again, I'm like, I got TSA pre-check. It's going to be okay. But I'm starting to notice like, they're filing the people with TSA PreCheck and no TSA PreCheck into the same like lane. So I'm kind of like, oh my God, this TSA PreCheck doesn't mean shit. Like the only thing that helped was like I was able to cut that initial line, but now I still have to wait in this crazy line. So I get grouped into this from the TSA PreCheck. They just merged everyone, so I'm in this line and it's just like, dude, like you know those like little zigzag things at the airport or whatever or at the DMV. I mean, I had to go through like 6-7 rows of that. And bro, I was online for about 45 minutes, and I know I sound like an entitled baby. 45 minutes, wait. But dude, I am not, like, I go to the airport and I'm a king usually. I just breeze right through, man. So yeah, it was crazy long, and then, you know. Listen, I was definitely like a bit annoyed, but like I really think it's so sad when you're like on these lines and like the people on the line start forming like little communities and chit chats about how like upset and unacceptable and how like the workers this and how the airport that and how blah blah blah. Like there's like literally like they're like making friendships over complaining. And it's just like, bro, it's like at a certain point, it's like just give it up, man. It's like like, you know, I'm very good at being like, if there's a situation where I have to wait or if there's a tough situation, I just really try to put myself in my future shoes of like when everything's going to be done, you know? Also, it's like if your goal is to get home and this is the situation, you're even if it's like long and annoying, you're still doing what you have to get to where you have to be. So just accept it, you know? So I've totally accepted, but like, you know, it might have been more annoying being online and just being surrounded by people like bickering, you know? Can you believe this? This is unacceptable. I mean, I was here last year and there was the same thing. And you just want to be like, dude, just shut the hell up, man. Like, this is what you want to talk about? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just me. Listen, I realize, I'm the more and more I live, the more I realize how I'm just different than people. But get through the security line. It was only 40 minutes, too. So it's like, part of me was like, thank God I got here early. You know, thank God I didn't try to be like, I'm a airport king, and then like I'll get there an hour before, be fine. Otherwise, I would have had a panic attack. But I still get through, and I still have like an hour and a half to kill. So I go to this like little cafe. I spend like a $25 on a goddamn grilled chicken sandwich. But you know, the one thing I'm willing to spend money on now is nutrition and food. Right? Like I will pay more to ensure I'm not putting junk in my body. You know, I don't drink. I mean, the only thing I spend money on is like sneakers. And at this point, it's just like, it's obviously a dumb expense, but I mean, sometimes I debate in my head of like, am I doing this to like show off to people or am I doing this because I genuinely like shoes? And I think it's the latter because I've been collecting shoes since I was like, in like middle school. So, yeah, I could give a crap because, usually this, like when I go out and I'm wearing sneakers, people give me shit. Like, what the hell are you wearing sneakers for? And I'm just like, you don't know, these are like, you know, limited edition. These are like, you know, Travis Scott, whatever. And people are just like, you got sneakers on, like you're a peasant, you know? So no, it's just for me at this point. But, what was my point? Oh yeah. I'm willing to spend money on nutrition, you know? Because my body's my temple. It's very important to me to stay, you know, on track. And I don't spend money on useless shit, you know? Like, I don't... Like, on the whole trip, I didn't drink. I didn't go buy useless stuff, like souvenirs. I didn't do any activities where I got to spend, like, $200 to go snorkel. So, food is the one thing. It's an investment, if that makes sense, you know? The shoes aren't. The shoes are just for me. That's my one little... If I didn't spend money on shoes, I would have so much money. Ugh, it's depressing to think about. But you like what you like. So I get through. I wait not too long. Get in. Delta Comfort. So I get in there early. The flight is... I have one of these things where I'm like, I'm just going to sleep on the flight. Because I'm a very good airplane sleeper. I just usually get on. That's it. It's like a skip button. And we landed. But I was only able to sleep for like 30... Man, you know what it was? I was only able to sleep for like 20, 30 minutes. So I just took like a nap. But like the lady next to me, man, no courtesy, dude. Like I guess she knew some guy I don't know if she was dating them or they just became friends online or something, but like, so the guy's sitting behind her and I'm sitting next to her. She's in the middle. I'm in the, with the window. And dude, she's like having full on conversation. Like she's turned around where her fucking mouth is like right here and just, I'm like, dude, it's like, just, do you not understand that there's a human being here that doesn't give a shit about what you're saying? You know, where's the common courtesy? Like, I almost wanted to be like, listen, is this your boyfriend? Then shut the hell up. He's not going anywhere. You're going to be together after you get off. He's not your boyfriend? Then get this guy's number and just text him, like just shut up, you know? Stop. For God, I almost wanted to tell the guy, like, dude, just get her number and just shut up already. Like, God damn it, dude. God, I don't know how people can do that, like, with other people. It's just so fat. Again, I'm different, you know? I'm sure if I had said something, everyone would be like, well, that guy's blah, 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 blah. But it's like, I don't understand how, you know, you're on a flight and you're just, and someone that you don't know has got their ear 2 inches from your mouth. I just don't understand it. But we land early, get in early. Flight was like 30, 40 minutes early, ahead of schedule. Get a car, check the traffic. No traffic. I'm home in 20 minutes. And I get here, drop my bags, fluff my cuts. My cuts. Fluff my cats. Give them little snuggles. They didn't really seem too excited to see me, but they did eventually. Like when I first got home, they kind of were just like looking at me. And I was like, hey, you missed me. And they just started walking away. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. But then like I turn on the Knicks game. They're playing the Pacers. I lay down, and then after they jumped up and like were like asking for cuddles. So I think they did miss me. But yeah, it came out. It was a perfect night, man. A perfect flight, perfect travel. My mom was here. It was her birthday, so we ordered some food. We chilled out, and the Knicks win another nerve-wracking game against the Pacers. Man, it's a lot of fun when the Knicks are good, man. This is dude, if they win the whole thing, I mean, I don't know. I can't even fathom the amount of elation I'll feel. But yeah, so, and then I'm back, and here we are. I went to bed early again, like 10:30. Woke up at 5. It's so crazy. My sleep schedule is just getting earlier and earlier. I'm starting to knock out 10:30, 11. It used to be like 12:01. Now it's like 10:30, 11. Waking up at 5, going to the gym at 6. But you know, as I do my shows out here, especially the late shows that end at like midnight, I'll probably fall back to a little later of a sleep schedule, but. Yeah, I'm so excited to be back home, man. And when I got back home, not only was I greeted by Fluffs and my mom, I was also greeted by some new goddamn sneakers. I think some of you saw my story on Instagram, but the Military 4s were retroed by the good old Nike Jordan, and I had to get them. I have the old pair on right now, as you guys can see. This will be the cover for the podcast. But yeah, dude. These military dude. So, this is how another reason why I know I don't buy shoes for approval of other people or to look cool. It's more for me because the Military 4s were one of the first sneakers that I saw in middle school. I saw on someone else's foot, and I was like, "Man, those are cool." Oh, those are beautiful. I got to have those. And like, that's where kind of the obsession started. Yeah, I have a real, what do you call it, affinity for things that I grew up with. Like, a lot of the times when I buy sneakers, it's just stuff that like I wanted when I was a kid that I couldn't get, or, you know, things I had as a kid, but I ended up selling or losing over the years. So when these came out, I had to get them. I got to say, man, I had mixed feelings when I first saw them because they try what Jordan is doing now is they're trying to make the retros the same exact way they were when they first came out. So these came out initially in 1989, and so I don't know if you guys can tell, but if you really look at let me just take the shoe off. I can't take the shoe off because then I have no fucking hand for the microphone. But if you see the one on my foot, it's a bit lighter blue. And it's a bit lower cut. and the shape is a little bit different. When Jordan, when they initially started retroing these, they kind of made the, like, so when they first came out, they're obviously basketball shoes. They were for Michael Jordan to play basketball in. And then when they retro them, they, I think they were just more lifestyle shoes. But as the years have gone on, they started kind of making them cut back to the way they were. They're still not like basketball shoes, obviously. You couldn't, I don't think these are made for performance, but they're making them more like the originals. And, you know, one more time, I'll do a comparison. If you see the new pair, it's a bit higher top. The color is a little bit darker. And the shape is a little bit more bulkier and different. You know, I love the shape. I love the original shape of the shoe. Just because it's cool. It's cool to, you know, have an OG version. Also, you got the Nike Air on the back tab. If you... Here, I'll just... This is a Jordan sign, you know, back here. So the original had a Nike Air tab. And the remakes had the Jordan sign. So they remade these. They put the Nike Air tab like they did. They were originally, which I love. I mean, it's something... something about the Nike Air tab. I mean, it's just so much better than the Jordan logo, you know? But yeah, they're bulkier, which is good, which I like because it's more of the same of the original, which is, you know, cool. But the retros, they're lower cut, so it's a little bit easier to for everyday wear. It's easier to put on, put off. These, you kind of got to, like, you know, unlace every time you want to put them on and, like, you know, shove your foot in. They're probably going to be a little bit more bulkier and hotter, so these aren't a good summertime shoe. Your feet are going to be sweating like a mofo. And, but other than that, I did notice, like, the color, the white is a bit off-white. It's like a blue tint almost, which at first I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then when I look at the original pictures of the 1989, it was also like that. So I'm like, okay, they're just trying to make it like the original. But other than that, they're beautiful. I love the original OG cut. I still wish they would make it higher top because the originals are real. Like, see this like heel tab back here that I'm pulling back. So in the original, so you can see how, like, the heel tab is like going over the back here. So in the originals, the actual ankle support goes over, like it matches where this heel tab is. And for some reason, they didn't do that with these remakes. I don't understand why. The heel tab, I guess when Michael was playing, it was just extra support on his Achilles. Achilles heel. Yeah, so yeah, it's Achilles. But, you know, obviously these aren't for basketball. These are for more lifestyle. So they're doing it because they still put them here because that's what they were made. It's how they were made. But, you know, sometimes if you don't wear high cut socks, this can kind of like dig into your Achilles and it can kind of be annoying, especially in the old ones that are low cut. Let me give you one more comparison here. I'll put the mic down, but if you look at the heel tabs, it's just like way more out there on the ones I have on the older ones. Let me show you. So yeah, the ones I have on now, it's like if you don't wear high cut socks, the heel tab will like dig into your Achilles, and I mean it can be very uncomfortable. I'm sure a lot of women out there are like, oh, you don't know anything about this comfort. I see all these girls, they're all these shoes they wear, and they got like Band-Aids in the back of their foot and their Achilles. It's just like, it ain't easy looking pretty. But yeah, that's the one thing I wish they had just made the ankle support higher. But other than that, these are gorgeous. I mean, I don't even want to wear them. I mean, to me, these are more a piece of art. And when you wear them, you know, I mean, I will wear them. I'll probably wear out my old pairs a little more, and then I'll put these on at some point. The blue, which is a bit darker, these are a bit more of a brighter blue, goes perfectly with way more blue shirts. This is kind of a more normal blue. It also goes really well with Knick blue, and we know with the Knicks, keep, you know, just dominating in the playoffs. Not dominating, that's the right way to put it. But with the Knicks doing so well in the playoffs, I'm going to have to wear some Knicks gear, and then these will match perfectly. So, yeah, just wanted to share. I got my they remade one of my childhood sneakers, and I was able to get it. I was lucky because I tried to get them on the Sneakers app, which is the Nike app for, like, hyped shoes. And they sold out, and I wasn't able to get one. I'm never able to get anything on there anyway. It's literally playing the lottery trying to purchase a shoe on there. But I was able to – I just Googled Jordan 4 Military Blue, and this site DTLR came up. And they had them in stock, every size. And I just immediately went, got my size 11, checked out, and I was good. And I felt pretty fortunate because I think I was right place, right time when I Googled it, because – it had sold out everywhere else. So I imagine once I made that purchase, probably right after it was sold out. So got my military fours. They're gorgeous. I'm just going to stare at them for a few weeks, and then maybe I'll put them on at some point. But hell yeah, baby. Another shoe to the collection of that is my addiction, sneakers. But yeah, where are we at here? 36 minutes. Yeah. What else do we got going on here? So, yeah, I guess we can just go into motivational quotes, right? We're at 36. Yeah, let's just do that. I haven't really been checking. I got off Twitter, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's trending. It's just not worth it. I used to look at Twitter for, like, you know, trending topics or, like, weird news stories, but, like, just being on there and, like, seeing the it's really just a toxic wasteland, and I just don't want to be a part of it anymore, you know? Maybe we'll do – because I always write multiple motivational quotes to say on the podcast, and I just pick one, but maybe we'll do two today. So this one I thought was very let's see here. The worst mistake you can do is measuring your value by what somebody else has. Yeah, I mean, this one applies to everyone, you know? It applies to me because, like, it's so easy for me to see people that are doing better than me, whether it's, like, you know, more followers, better clubs, more money. And then it's like I don't get to really appreciate what I'm doing or what I have because I'm constantly kind of, like, on a scale of what they're doing, you know? So it's like, you know, someone may have like 100,000 followers and whatever, like every post they post gets like 1,000 likes. So when I'll post something to my 50,000 followers and then it gets like 200 likes or 500 likes, I can't like, I always think like you know, I'm guilty of this. I'll think like, well, why can't I get 1,000? Why can't I? And it's like, I'm not even like appreciating or even like comprehending what's actually going on with me. You know, I'm like, I put myself on like a scale. It's like when you're in a college and, you know, it's like what usually like one of these science or calculus exams where it's like the highest score is a 70. So like that becomes an A and stuff. You know, it's like that's not how it works with life. You know, you can't just compare yourself to someone else and then measure your success like that. That just like that's someone else. That's totally theirs. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing, like, it has no bearing on your life whatsoever, you know? But it's just natural. It's natural to see other people and want what they have. And we just spend so much time doing that. We just don't look at what we have, you know? Which kind of goes into another quote I wanted to say. It's like, it's really important to stop, you know, especially if you're like a driven guy or if you have like goals like me, it's really important to sometimes not always like look about or obsess over like where you haven't gone and like appreciate and look at like how far you've come, you know? Because like there's plenty of times where I'm like, you know, I wish I was doing that. I wish I was as successful as that person, yada, yada, yada. But then I never appreciate or look inward and be like, dude, like this whole career you've built where you can, you know, you have all these goddamn tour dates. You do have 50,000 followers. You have almost 200,000 followers on TikTok. All this respect you've garnered in the community in New York. just like how well you do on stage in general, like that all started from nothing. That all just started from zero. Like you did all these open mics, you worked your ass off, you toured the country, you invested your time, your money, and you wrote and you watched video, and then you made the content that would go viral, and then you built this following. And it's like you did all that stuff, and like you give your just because like you're not where you want to be yet or now in this very moment. How do you discredit all that? And I guess it's not really discrediting, but it's like, it's so easy to beat yourself up because you're not where you want to be. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be this. I want to be that. Let's say you want to be a millionaire, right? And let's say you're making $500,000 a year, you know, and you started from nothing. It's like, that's pretty incredible still. You know, so obviously, you know, you want to be motivated. You want to get to where you want to get to. But you also got to, like, remember, it's like, dude, you've come, like, you know, you got to remember where you come from, how far you've come, and give yourself a little bit more credit, you know? And sometimes that's the only way, when you see how far you've come and you give yourself a little pat in the back, it can give you kind of that assurance and motivation, like, hey, I got this far, and there's no reason to think or say I won't get farther, you know? This is one quote. Man, we're just throwing out quotes today, but I keep hearing this on Nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco. They go, Lord, I know you didn't bring me here. I know you didn't bring me this far to just leave me here, you know? I'm not religious or anything, but I understand it's like, you know, you didn't get to where you got to for, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you found money on the floor. It's like you got to where you got to because of you. So whenever you're down, whenever you feel like things are going bad, just remember it's like, you've already accomplished a lot, you know. That's probably a better way to put it. It's like, look at your accomplishments sometimes, not always just like the things that you haven't accomplished. Does that make sense? Is that a good quote? Do you guys hate me? all right. So we just did a few, but this one I thought of yesterday. This is my quote. It's a bit harsh, but I think I finally have defined what the meaning of a loser is. So that word gets thrown around a lot, right? You're a loser. You're a loser. And a lot of times we think like people that play video games, you know, people that are on drugs, or just people like, you know, in high school, it's like if you're not popular, you're a loser, right? That kind of carries on with life, right? If you're successful and you're not successful, you're a loser, right? But it's like, that's such a broad thing and just thrown out. Usually it's just to hurt people's feelings, but I think I kind of have a good definition of what a loser is. And I know it, like just saying the word is so harsh, but I'm really trying to like actually like break it down. Cause like, what's the web definition of a loser? Let's see what it says here. Loser definition. If my Wi-Fi will work. A person or thing that loses or has lost something, especially in a game or a contest. So the actual definition is like if it's like win lose. It's like if you bet on something, or if you compete for something. That's like obviously when people go you're like if they sum up your life as you're a loser, it means like you suck at life. But what I think a loser is, like an actual loser is someone that doesn't use the time that they have on this earth wisely. Because time is the most valuable thing we have that we can't get back. And people just love wasting their time because we have so much of it. If you think about it, it's like we have, you know, if we live like 80 years, that's a lot of time, right? It feels like a long time. But reality, man, it's like a hourglass. It's just going and going and going. And so many people take it for granted. They get like, they forget the time is ticking. Time is going. And they start using their time to do nothing. Or they use it on people that don't help them, you know? So for me, it's like, I try to really use my time to do the things I want. To leave no stone untouched in this world, to forward my career, right? To do the things I want. I just use my time to just enjoy my life, not put my time or use my time to things that make me miserable, you know? Because I'm not going to get that time back. But it's not like, you know, so many people waste time on people that don't help them. They waste time doing things that hurt them, that don't forward their life in any way, shape, or form. And it all comes down to, like, if you think, like, let's say you want, like, I have so many friends that are like, or people I know, they're like, I want to be rich. It's like, okay. But then what do they do with their time? Drink, screw around, relationships that aren't good for them, drugs, you know? So if that's your goal, if that's going to make you happy, you think, to be rich, then why are you using your time accumulating wealth or figuring out ways to make money? Why are you using your time doing all this stuff that doesn't get to your goal, you know? You know, I've even gotten to the point where, like, if I have a day off or if I'm doing some leisure activity, I have to tell myself that time is only going to benefit me to get to my goal because I've hit a wall and I need a goddamn breather, you know? There's only so many days I can do comedy or work in a row until I need a break. And the break to me is using time wisely so I can actually refresh, recharge, and get back to my, you know, working on my goal, you know? But yeah, people just love wasting it. I mean, this is why I have a hard time at that resort. It's just like everyone's like on vacation screwing around this. And like, I get it. I don't know any of those people. I'm sure a lot of those people have great jobs, great lives. And you know what? They just want to decompress, right? But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they do this like every year, multiple times a year, and they're just drinking their life away. They're spending their money, and they have all these goals that they want to do. I want to start a business. I want to do. It's like you're just drinking, laying around, doing nothing. Like, well, how the fuck are you using your time wisely? You know, like I said, they could be just decompressing, and then, you know, like me, I say I need a charge. I need to get my, you know, but. Man, you know, a lot of people, too, will be like, I wanted to start doing comedy. I wrote all this material, and, you know, I just got to sign up for an open mic. I'm like, okay, then fuck, do it. How much time are you going to waste wondering about how this could go? I mean, like, it's every second, every day you don't do it is a day you could have been doing it, working at it, getting better. The time's going, baby. It's not, you're not getting it. What are you doing? What are you actually doing? Just... You know, I think I had some analogy a couple podcasts ago where it's like, people need to look at time like it's money. If you had, let's say you have like $100,000, literally just in singles, right? You know, for a lifetime. Like you have time, like, you know, with a lifetime, you have a specific amount of time. Would you just be giving out fucking dollars to people? Like, you know, here's a dollar. Or would you like... think, like, I have 100,000 of these for my whole life. When it runs out, it runs out. Let me think more carefully about where it's going. Maybe put it into places where it can make me more money, right? Obviously, with time, though, there's nothing you could... I mean, listen, you could work out, you could eat healthy, you could do all that crap, which could lengthen your life a little more. But it's more about the quality of life, right? So it's like if you're gonna $1 here, $1. Why are you gonna give that money to things that don't do anything for you, or would you rather put that money into things that will just increase your quality of life, so you can actually enjoy the time you have with that money? Does this make sense? What I'm saying? When people lose track, though, I mean, it's so easy to lose track because like these are long-term things. These are things that like, you know, it's easy to be like, I have a goal. I'm gonna go do that. Right? Like, let's say your goal is like, I'm going to go to the gym today. You could literally get up, go work out, go and come back, and you're going to feel great. But if your actual goal is like, I want 6-pack abs, that's going to take a long time. And your feeling of like, I'm going to do it, it's going to wash off. And you have to be disciplined enough that when those moments come where you're not excited and it's tough and it's hard, you have to keep the focus, you know? But with, you know, with people spending their time like just on anything, and like it's hard to remember. So I just hope, you know, listen, I did one of these kind of things. I made it a clip. I put it on social media, and then everyone just called me a piece of shit. Everyone like thought I was an asshole, entitled, jerk off, you're going to get what's coming to you. Like all the, hey, you know, I could give two goddamn shits. I hope if one person can hear me say this and they start whatever, they go do that open mic that they've been putting off for so long. Are there, you know, they realize like they're in some really horrible work situation where they want to do something else and they leave that job, or they're in a relationship where it's like it's not benefiting them, it makes them miserable, and it's just like they get out of it. I hope if one person can hear what I'm saying and it changes their life, then go ahead. Hundreds of people can call me a piece of crap and whatever. I don't even know like what they're like, why they would call me a piece. Maybe because I'm like, maybe it's just too real. Maybe I'm reminding them that it's like that of themselves, you know. But yeah, that's just my whole spiel. And like, I had a really I was at the airport. I was like listening to some motivational stuff, you know, self improvement stuff. I'm a big self improvement guy. And I was, you know, some guy was talking about time, and it just made me realize, like, God damn, you're right. Any time you're using your time, a lot of times, not enjoying your life or doing things that are just going to improve the quality of your life or satisfy you, then what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? You know? If you really think about it, like my Bahamas 2-week thing, it's like, I don't want to say it was a waste of time, but it was getting, the reason why I started to get a little bit like, I got to get out of here. I didn't get depressed or anything, but I just felt eh about it, and I will never do it again unless they pay me a crazy amount of money. I was like, because it's not, my time isn't being utilized right here. I didn't feel too bad about it because, like I said, I was auditioning there. I was still getting my work done. I was writing new jokes. But, like, to be performing at the same place over and over again, I was just like, I got to try this stuff at the comic strip. I got to try this stuff in another state. I got to try this stuff at a bar show. I got to try this stuff at a club downtown. I got to try it in Brooklyn. I got to try it in Queens. I got to try it in Jersey. You know what I mean? For left people, right people. So that's why I kind of felt eh about it. Because, like, I'm wasting my time doing this stuff over and over again for the same crowds. Obviously different people, but, like, the same type of crowd, the same venue, you know? So that's my little spiel. I got to pee really bad. but we're pretty much done anyways. But, yeah, guys, you know, like I said, I hope one person hears this and, like, it means something. I could care if everyone else just thinks I'm an idiot, because that's what most people do when you – when you try to tell them stuff like this. I mean, they'll make excuses. They'll say they can't. They just imprison themselves. I can't do that, but you don't know my situation. But yeah, man, listen, if there's a will, there's a way, all right? I mean, you get one life, you know? And also, this is the last thing I'll say. I had a really, I had a moment, maybe a week ago. It was after a good therapy session. But I started to realize, like, you know, you guys know it. I complain a lot about, what does this say? You know, my social media. This isn't working. That's work. Now work. No one gives a shit. No one's watching. I hate myself. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was talking to my therapist. And I was like, maybe I should just do things to just go viral. Maybe I should just do what's going to work. Build a following. You know? And my therapist was like, yeah, go, you know. But I was like, but that's not going to make me happy, you know? The things that go viral are to me, I don't enjoy doing them. I don't like them. You know, when I put them out and then people at my shows go on my social media page, I feel embarrassed, you know? He's like, then why are you doing it? I'm like, because, like, you know, because I got to get a following so people will book me. And he goes, all right, then do it. I was like, but I don't want it. And I... And he's like, then don't do it. And then we just kept going back and forth. And he goes, you know, whatever you're going to do, right, you just got to do it. You got to accept it and stop bitching, essentially, is what he said. And he was, and then I thought about it. It's like, there's two ways I can go. I could make the stuff that is going to go viral, or I can make stuff to go viral and be miserable. But then I just have to accept it. Like, this is what it is. Take myself out of it. And just do what I got to do. Or I could do what I actually like and enjoy and feel good about. And you know, there could be success, but right now, it's not successful, but I like doing it. But it's going to make me happy. Essentially, what I'm saying is, like, the things that work are, like, my selfie clips, talk about my ethnic background, and the things I love are the stand-up clips and just being myself, essentially, right? Anything I'm like, I think this is funny, putting it out. That stuff makes me happy. And for so long, I've been having this, like, weird divide of, like, do I want to be happy or do I want to be successful? Happy, successful, happy, successful. And then I just remembered, man, when I first started doing stand-up, when I got into this, it was in college, and I was I had no major. I decided my parents. I was in my junior year. My parents were like, "What the hell are you majoring in?" I had no major. Everyone was like on a track to graduate, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I started being like, "All right, listen, everyone's doing economics. If I do economics, I can get a good job." And then I did that, and I was trying my hardest, miserably trying my hardest, and I was getting C's and D's. And I was miserable. And then I had a moment. I'm like, man, what do I really want to do? I forgot who told me or what. Something. It got to the point where I asked myself, what do I really want to do? And I remember, like, when I was growing up, I write all the short stories. I remember growing up, comic books, being obsessed with movies and comedy. And then I was like, I really would love to get into comedy. I love to be in show business. I want to write screenplays. I want to get in the movie. I want to be in entertainment. And that fascinates me. And that I really want to learn about that. And I'm passionate about that. And I remember, I was like, I would rather put all my effort, energy, and all 200% of my potential into something that I love and I'm interested in. Even if it's like, not low chance of success, harder path, unlikely. I'd rather do that and be happy than do the thing that is most likely going to make me money and just be miserable and putting 40% of my potential into, you know, and barely getting by. And that's when I started doing comedy. That's when I switched my major to theater and English. I took screenwriting classes. I started doing sketch theater, then I went to stand-up, and here I am. And I remember, like, that decision I made, the decision that got me into comedy, was because I wanted to be happy and do the thing I loved, even though it had the likelihood of not working out. And so far, it's worked out pretty good. I'm a touring comedian. I got a bunch of followers, even though, listen, like, I hate use follow. It's so weird to use followers as a thing of success, but I'm a strong comedian. I got dates galore. I got a special coming out. I'm making a living doing what I love, and it all started from taking that chance. And then I had the moment where I'm like, dude, you made this decision once. You just got to stay the course. If you go, I'm going to do these things to go viral that I think are going to work, even though it makes me miserable. You are not being consistent with your original decision. So now I'm just, you know, with my social media, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm putting out the stuff I like to make, the stuff that makes me happy, the things I'm proud of, the things that when people go to my page, I want them to see. And that's stand-up clips. And if you guys have noticed, it's been a lot more stand-up clips recently. None of the selfie stuff. Because like I said, man, it's just like, doesn't want to make me happy. Doesn't make me happy. And the selfie stuff gets way, I mean, I got a couple of videos with millions of views now. The stand-up clips, nothing. I mean, I look at the analytics. People are just opening it, like, and just scrolling past. They could give two shits. But, you know, to me, they're wrong. If they would actually watch the goddamn thing, they would enjoy it. But it is what it is, man. So, like I said, guys, I spent a lot of time being miserable these last couple of years. trying to be something I'm not. Trying to live my life in a way that I thought I wanted to live, and I've been pretty miserable. But time, man, is just that one thing that we have that we don't get back. And I have decided that I'm going to use that time to do the shit I love, which has always kind of that, which was the decision I made 10 years ago, and I'm sticking to it. If I get broke, please join my Patreon and help me out. But I have a good feeling. I believe in myself, so I think I'm going to be okay. All right, guys, that's the end of the podcast this week. I got to pee really bad. If you have questions, please send them to me. No one really sends questions unless I prompt anyway, so I guess I'll just do another prompt. But I appreciate you guys watching. I appreciate your fandom, and I believe in myself. Believe in yourself, too. You'll be amazed what you can accomplish. Zaytin, adios.